This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Wednesday, November 14th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today, but we're going to actually start with the blockbuster trade in Major League Baseball. Maybe you haven't even heard about it yet, but Miami Marlins abandoning ship, waving the white flag, another salary dump. You know, they've done this before when they were the Florida Marlins World Series winners. But Miami has sent five players to Toronto, and I think it makes the Toronto Blue Jays at least a factor in the very difficult AL East. But the Marlins send the following five to Toronto: shortstop Jose Reyes. They gave him all that money last year. Didn't quite work out. Pitchers Mark Burley and Josh Johnson. Catcher John Buck, who actually had an all-star season in Toronto a few years ago. And, you know, all-everything man Emilio Bonifacio. I mean, the Blue Jays get those five guys. Miami gets shortstop Yunil Escobar, a good young player. Right-handed pitcher Henderson Alvarez. Catcher Jeff Mathis. And four prospects. Obviously, Miami trying to rebuild, but you got to wonder, you know what they did down there last year. They spent a ton of money in Miami. They hired Ozzie Guillen to lead the way. They opened that brand new stadium. And, of course, they were just so-so at the beginning. Then Ozzie Guillen made those stupid comments about loving Fidel Castro. Ozzie Guillen, the guy who lives in Little Havana, who should know better. And, frankly, it was all downhill from there. They won 69 games. I mean, they were just a terrible team. So they threw up the white flag before the season even starts. But the more interesting side of it, I think, is obviously for the Blue Jays. Now, Josh Johnson isn't what he used to be. I mean, he was dominant a few years ago. Burley, 34 years old. But last year, the Toronto Blue Jays starting rotation, they were 25th in Major League Baseball in starters ERA. Obviously, that's not going to get it done. So whether Johnson's a 1 or a 2 or a 3 or Burley's a 3 or a 4 or a 5, what they have is two solid starting pitchers, two more than they had last year. And again, maybe John Buck can return to his all-star form. Jose Reyes, you know, battling injury, you just don't know. But my goodness, look at the lineup they have. They put Jose Reyes at the top. They've got a rising young star in Brett Lowry. They've got a superstar in Jose Bautista. Edwin Encarnacion had a Jose Bautista-like season. So the Blue Jays are going to have, again, a very potent offense, even more potent now with Reyes in the lineup. And their pitching staff, by definition, is going to be better. I don't know if it's going to be great, but it's going to be better. I mean, you throw Johnson and Burley, even if Johnson's a 3 and Burley's a 5, that's two more solid starters for Toronto. Not superstars. You know, maybe Johnson gets healthy again and can be a superstar. He certainly has the ability. But I think Toronto made themselves at least relevant in the AL East. I mean, look at the AL East now. You've got the Yankees and Tampa Bay. Boston might be the worst team there right now. But Boston's still Boston. They're going to spend some money. Buck Showalter, I thought, should have been manager of the year. He wasn't, but we'll get to that in a minute. But the Orioles, you know, they're young. They can pitch. So, Yankees, Tampa, Boston, Toronto, Baltimore. That's five pretty good teams. And again, I think Boston's probably the worst in that division now, after the Bobby Valentine and all those injuries fiasco. But the Blue Jays make a massive trade, again, getting Jose Reyes, Mark Burley, Josh Johnson, John Buck, and Emilio Bonifacio. They didn't give up a whole lot. They took on, I think it was like $167 million in salary, obviously a salary dump for Miami to get out from under what they had done last year. And people talked about this last year for Miami. Were they spending too much money? Were they doing too much? Could they really draw people in Miami? And it certainly was an unmitigated disaster, again, starting with the Ozzie Guillen thing. So that's the big deal. We'll give you a couple of other A couple of other baseball notes since we're on baseball now. You probably heard Mike Trout won the AL Rookie of the Year unanimously. Now, the issue for Trout isn't whether he's the AL Rookie of the Year. The issue is whether he's the AL MVP. I think it should go to Cabrera, of course. He won the Triple Crown. He was pretty good in the field, you know, surprisingly good. He also moved from first base, so Prince Fielder could play there. But Trout was the unanimous Rookie of the Year. Bryce Harper was the NL Rookie of the Year. Bryce Harper, 22 homers, 59 RBIs, hit 270. He hit more home runs than any teenager in the history of baseball, except for the ill-fated Tony Conigliaro. He hit 24 as a teenager back in the 60s. But Harper, the rookie in the National League, Trout, you know, again, Trout's numbers were really, frankly, off the charts. 326, finished second best to Cabrera's 330. Trout also had 30 homers and 83 RBIs. He led the majors with 129 runs and 49 steals. And again, he's... The question isn't, is he the Rookie of the Year? The question, of course, is he the AL MVP? And that's coming up, I think, in the next week or so. Also yesterday, Davey Johnson announced as the NL Manager of the Year. No real surprise there. Johnson did an unbelievable job. You know, the Strasburg thing, I thought, came back to bite them a little bit. But they won 98 games. I think the Strasburg mistake was that the hierarchy of the Nationals just didn't think they were going to be as good as they were going to be. You know, if they had done with Strasburg what the Braves did with Medlin, you know, stick him in the bullpen or bring him up after a month, start him in May 15th instead of April 15th, or keep him in the bullpen for the first 2 months and then let him pitch his 160 or 70 innings, well, he would have been good right through the playoffs. So I think that was just a miscalculation. They stuck to their guns and shut them down. Did it cost them? You know, you can debate that. But Davey Johnson deserves the Manager of the Year in the National League. 98 wins, first place, made the playoffs, first playoff baseball in Washington since 1933. I mean, come on, that's unbelievable. The AL race was more interesting to me. I thought Buck Showalter should have got it, playing in the tough AL East, making the playoffs, taking the Yankees to the last game of the year. For the division, I thought he was and think he is a miracle worker. He did it with the Yankees. He did it with the Diamondbacks. He's doing it with the Orioles. I think he's a great manager. But Bob Melvin gets the nod. Now, Bob Melvin with the lowest payroll in baseball, he led the A's to 94 wins in first place in the AL West. Of course, you know, comparing the AL East to the AL West, it's like two different leagues. It's like the varsity and the JV. And that's another reason I think Buck Showalter should have gotten the MVP. And to Bob, the Manager of the Year, and to Bob Melvin's credit, what a classy guy. He got on and said, yeah, I was shocked. I thought Buck Showalter should have won the award. To give Melvin credit, look, he had a great year. He did a great job. I don't think he should have beat out Buck, but that's irrelevant. You know, it would have been nice, actually, if they could have given out co-managers of the year in the AL, but it wasn't to be. So Bob Melvin of the A's, Davey Johnson of the Nationals get the their respective Manager of the Year awards in their respective leagues. Tonight, NL Cy Young, you know, big sentiment for R.A. Dickey in New York, 20 wins with a horrible team. I hope he gets it. I thought he got the shaft in the All-Star game. He should have started. Tony La Russa somehow got to manage and got to pick. Retired Tony La Russa somehow got to manage and got to pick the starting pitcher, and it was not R.A. Dickey. I think clearly it should have been, but that's irrelevant. Hopefully Dickey will get the award, at least in New York. He's apparently indicated he would take a little less money to come back to the Mets. It's unclear whether the Mets are really going to really go after him to sign him. Will they sign him and trade him? You know, Dickey, a class act, wrote that book, had troubles when he was a kid, you know, abused, etc., but he was fantastic this year, throwing a hard knuckleball, winning 20 games for a team that was terrible. So we'll have to wait. That announcement is tonight, 6:45. It's actually live on MLB TV. So hopefully he will win that award. But, you know, you never know what's going to happen with those awards. And on the overall scheme of things, are they important? No, but I think these guys deserve to be recognized. I think Buck Showalter and Bob Melvin should have been recognized. I think Davey Johnson absolutely deserved it. Trout and Harper are two of the best rookies to come along in a long time. So the awards are coming out in baseball. The trade still dominated, I thought, frankly, the entire sports world yesterday. You know, there's other things going on we'll talk about, but clearly the Toronto Blue Jays are at a minimum relevant now in the AL East, and the AL East continues to be the best, deepest, by far, league division in baseball. Want to move on now. A few NFL notes. You know, the fallout of that Monday night Steelers all out to beat the lowly Chiefs win 16-13 in Pittsburgh. If you saw the game, you know, Lawrence Timmons intercepted Castle on the second offensive play of overtime. Sean Sweeson kicked that 23-yard field goal. But during the game, Ben Roethlisberger was hurt, was tackled hard, landed on his shoulder, now has a shoulder injury in his throwing hand, his right arm, right shoulder. And there's real concern. He just was announced at 11 a.m. today, Eastern Time, that he will not start this Sunday. That's a big problem for the Steelers. They're playing the Ravens two of the next 3 weeks. The Ravens, as you know, lead that division 7-2. The Steelers second, 6-3. Byron Leftwich has been around for a long time, has been with the Steelers before. Came in Monday night and went 7-for-14 for 73 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. But, you know, the Steelers are really, to me anyway, a team that's relying on Roethlisberger. Can they win? They play Steeler defense and Leftwich manages the game. Can they win? Yeah. Can they beat the Ravens? I don't think so. And the problem for the Steelers is they play the Ravens two of the next 3 weeks, and that's a big problem. So they could easily have five losses after the next 3 weeks, and that would not only put them out of winning their division, that would put them in the thick of a wild card race that they now lead by two games. So can they steal one against the Ravens when Leftwich? I think it'll be very hard. Now, the Ravens defense isn't what the Ravens defense used to be. The Ravens, believe it or not, are more of an offensive team. But, you know, Flacco's playing really well. He's been around now. It's his time. They can run it with Ray Rice, et cetera, et cetera. But it's going to be very, very difficult for the Steelers. You know, they still have a lot of other injuries. Antonio Brown has an ankle injury. Mendenhall has not gotten back. He's got an Achilles. Polamalu's still out with that ankle problem. And even Ryan Clark, their safety, you know, he's going through that concussion protocol now. Will he be able to play? So they've had a lot of issues this year. Big Ben was always the constant factor, was always the guy who came up with the big play, was always the, you know, I'll bend but don't break. But Monday night, he's got a shoulder sprain. He's out for this week. He might be out for a few weeks. The doctors go both ways on this injury. You just don't know how bad it is until you finally, you know, give it some rest and then see where you are. But I think they should keep him out for sure this week. I think, yeah, they just announced that he won't start this week, that he won't play this week. Charlie Batch will be the backup to Byron Leftwich. Again, another guy who's been in the league for 15 years, I think. Leftwich has been in the league for 10. So they certainly have some experience there. If they can steal one of these two Ravens games, I don't think they should focus on winning the division now, although you never know what's going to happen. I think they got to focus on making the playoffs, then with a healthy Big Ben, maybe get back some of these other guys, Brown and Mendenhall, Polamalu and Clark. You know, they can make a run. They're the Steelers. But this Sunday, Big Ben out, Byron Leftwich in, very tall order against the Ravens. Don't think they can win that game. And then we'll just have to see how long it's going to be for Roethlisberger to be out, because they need him desperately if they're going to make any kind of run. Quickly, the NFL standings. The Ravens, as we said, 7-2. Steelers 6-3. Cincinnati 4-5. I picked them to be the second wild card team. They're going to have to go on a run. They crushed the Giants the other day, so maybe they can go on a run. Cleveland 2-7. In the East, the Patriots are the Patriots 6-3. Two up on the Dolphins. The Patriots are lucky, I think, this year. The Dolphins, Jets, and Bills just not that good. Jets 3-6. Bills 3-6. Dolphins 4-5. The headlines in New York today, a bunch of Tim Tebow's teammates were anonymously interviewed, and they all said he's terrible as a quarterback. He can't help them win. As a quarterback, he's the wildcat guy. I mean, the criticism from within the team was pretty bad. Now, look, these guys were, I guess, speaking honestly off the record. Well, not off the record, but anonymously. You know, you'd like to see these guys identify themselves. But it's almost like Tim Tebow didn't do what he did last year in Denver. Never forget, he led them to the playoffs. They were going nowhere. He led them to fourth quarter overtime victory after fourth quarter overtime victory, and then he shocked the Steelers in the playoffs. I mean, it was amazing what he did. Now, I understand he's not the thrower that these guys are, but Sanchez completing 52% of his passes has been awful. But Tebow's still taking the beating. I think he's got to regret coming to New York. And if he was in Jacksonville, my guess is he'd be starting now. Jacksonville 1-8, of course. So the Patriots dominating the East almost by default. AFC South, the Texans, you know, now 8-1. Indianapolis 6-3. Tennessee and Jacksonville already out of it. In the AFC West, you know, we picked the Broncos almost by default. If Peyton Manning was anything, they were going to win. And Peyton Manning is close to the old Peyton Manning. They're 6-3. Chargers 4-5. Oakland 3-6. Chiefs out of it, 1-8. Will Romeo Crennel last the season is the big issue in KC now. In the NFC, the Giants in the slump now. You know, we're back to the debate in New York. Is Eli elite or not elite? I think he's elite. Two Super Bowl MVPs, beat Tom Brady twice. Most fourth quarter comebacks, blah, blah, blah. I think he is elite, but he's been bad the last three games. No touchdown passes. But the Giants still lead 6-4. That division also, the Cowboys with that big win, 4-5. Eagles 3-6, season on the brink, if not over. Washington Redskins 3-6. In the NFC North, the Bears lost. They're 7-2, still in first place by a game over there. Here come the Packers. Packers 6-3. Last five, they're 4-1. Vikings 6-4. Lions 4-5. Again, that's the best division in football this year. In the South, the Falcons finally got beat by the Saints. Falcons 8-1. Tampa Bay 5-4. New Orleans 4-5. Can they make the playoffs? I certainly didn't think that they could. Panthers out of it. In the West, 49ers 6-2-1 after that tie with the last place Rams. Seattle 6-4. Arizona 4-5. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Good news, everyone. Lumber Liquidators wants to send you a free catalog of hardwood flooring options. Call 800-421-1346. See how you can buy the highest quality flooring for the lowest possible prices. Here's what some of our customers have to say.
I've installed a lot of hardwood floors, but this is the best bang for the buck.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
I love Lumber Liquidators. I got quality products for less, and the online ordering was easy.
At Lumber Liquidators, we buy direct from the mills, and we pass the savings on to you. Call right now and get the floor guide and catalog absolutely free. It has hundreds of top quality flooring such as solid hardwoods, laminates, bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a transferable 100-year warranty. Our catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to help you find the right floor for you. Call 800-421-1346 and get your free catalog. 800-421-1346. That's 800-421-1346.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese. Sunday nights at 8 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HDTV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card. Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. Going to switch to the NBA now. The NBA story still lead with the Lakers. The Lakers at home yesterday playing the Spurs. An excellent back-and-forth game. If you got to watch that game, that was a great early season game. D'Antoni's coming, but not here. Jackson shocked that he wasn't hired. Bernie Bickerstaff, a good NBA coach in his own right, the interim coach. But at the end of the day, it was Danny Green, certainly not a superstar, but Danny Green hitting a three-pointer with seconds left in the game to give the Spurs the win. Spurs 84, Lakers 82. The game ended with Pau Gasol with the ball in the corner offensively. The Lakers had another chance trying to get the ball to Kobe. Kobe said he was open. Gasol said he couldn't get it to him. Gasol winds up hoisting up a long jumper at the buzzer that didn't go in. Spurs 84, Lakers 82. Kobe Bryant, 12 for 19 from the floor, 28 points, 8 assists. Howard with 13 points, Meta World Peace with 12, Gasol with 10, not enough in defeat for the Spurs. You know, you got to give the Spurs a lot of credit because a guy like Danny Green hitting the game-winning jumper. Green was 3 for 11 before he took that 3, had the confidence to take it, 11 points, 5 rebounds, and the game-winner for Danny Green. Parker, 19 points, 17 assists. Duncan, 18 points, 9 rebounds. They have, you know, they're still the... They're still the Spurs. They're 7-1 now. The Lakers 3-5. But you can see what the Lakers are going to be. I mean, the Lakers didn't have Steve Nash still out. They didn't even have Steve Blake, their backup point guard. And they took the Spurs to the final seconds and could have won the game. So give the Lakers credit. Give the Spurs credit. Again, the talk afterwards is still, you know, the reports are that Phil Jackson was shocked. He had, was assembling a staff. He was all but sure that he was going to be the coach. He can't believe they took D'Antoni. Now, Mitch Kupchak, the GM, made another statement yesterday that they thought D'Antoni was the best guy given the roster. They thought some of these guys on the roster would have a hard time learning the triangle. Only four guys previously, including, of course, Kobe and Gasol, had played the triangle offense. But I'll say what I said the other day. Steve Nash is the smartest guy in the NBA. Brilliant point guard. He could definitely learn the triangle. Josh Howard, he'd have to take a crash course, but he could certainly learn it. So, I don't know. I think this is a huge mistake hiring D'Antoni. He was a disaster in New York. He knew it was going to be bad early, but he was a disaster late. Jeremy Lin saved him, at least having him play a playoff series while he was in New York. But Kupchak affirmatively came out and said, we think D'Antoni is better given the roster we have. Most people don't believe that. Again, Phil Jackson is shocked, but Spurs 84, Lakers 82, D'Antoni hoping to coach on Sunday when the Houston Rockets with Jeremy Lin come into town. That should be an interesting reunion. A few other games in the NBA yesterday. The Knicks, the surprise of the NBA, not because they're good, but because they're 5-0, the only undefeated team left. They beat the Magic in Orlando. Orlando's terrible, but the Nets Knicks with a 10-point win, 99-89. Carmelo with 25 and 8 rebounds to lead the Knicks. The Magic dropped to 2-5. They're going nowhere. The Nets beat the Cavaliers despite Varejao with a career-high 35, Kyrie Irving with a career-high 34. The Nets are a good team. Williams led the Nets with 26 points and 10 assists, but Joe Johnson also had 25. They've got a big man who can play. Nets 114, Cavaliers 101, Nets 4-2, Cavaliers 2-6. The Raptors surprised the Pacers in Indiana, Raptors 74, Indiana 72. Jose Calderon with his first ever triple-double, 13 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. You know, I thought Indiana would be better, frankly. I'm surprised they lost at home. But again, it's very early. Indiana 3-5. The Raptors 2-6. Trailblazers on the road beat Sacramento 103-86. Lillard, the early rookie of the year, led the Trailblazers with 22. Trailblazers 3-5. Sacramento drops to 2-6. And finally, the hapless Wizards lose to the Bobcats in Charlotte. Look, the Wizards with John Wall aren't very good. Without him, they're terrible. Bobcats 92, Wizards 76. Ramon Sessions leads the Bobcats with 21. Ariza leads the Wizards with 19, but the Wizards are 0-6, going nowhere. The Bobcats 3-3. You know, maybe they're a little better this year, but they raised their record to 500. So all eyes still on the Lakers and the new coach, etc. Again, it remains to be seen how it's going to shake out there in L.A. I picked them to win the title. I'm not going to back off from that now. But I would have certainly been happier. I'm no Laker fan, but I would think the Laker fans would be happier with Phil Jackson than with Mike D'Antoni. Quickly to college basketball. A few interesting games yesterday. Yes, it's early, but number 21, Michigan State on the road. Beats Kansas, at the Georgia Dome, beats Kansas 67-64. Appling was really big late for Michigan State. He was the key player to help win the game. Gary Harris had 18 for Michigan State as well. A few other interesting games, probably the bigger game. Duke beating Kentucky. Duke ranked 7th, Kentucky ranked 3rd. Of course, now's the time to get Kentucky. They're going to be fantastic. You know, Duke beat him yesterday 75-68. Mason Plumlee had a big game. But, you know, Kentucky, virtually all freshmen, will be great by the end of the tournament. Duke was lucky to get him early, I think. That was also at the Georgia Dome. Duke ranked 3rd before this game. Duke ranked 9th. Kentucky ranked 3rd. Michigan, number 5, Michigan, bury Cleveland State by 30. You know, those were essentially your highlight games yesterday. UCLA almost lost to UC Irvine. That was a very exciting game. But UCLA managed to win it in overtime. UCLA 80, UC Irvine 17. Oh, back to the Duke game quickly. I should have said Mason Plumlee, 18 points on 7-for-8 shooting. Seth Curry with 23. That game was at the Georgia Dome. This Nerlens Noel, if you get to see him play, 16 points for Kentucky. I mean, they really are a very good team. Well, both teams are very good, but this might be reversed come tournament time. Quickly now to your TV for tonight. NBA basketball doubleheader on ESPN. The Grizzlies, who are off to a good start, 5-1, at Oklahoma City to play the Thunder. That's 8 o'clock Eastern on ESPN. Followed right after that by Miami, the Heat, out in California, out in L.A. to play the Clippers. That should be a very interesting game. 10:30 ESPN. That's a great NBA doubleheader, yes, early in the year. If you're into college football, Toledo at Northern Illinois, 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2. And also a college basketball doubleheader, Wisconsin at Florida, 7 o'clock Eastern at ESPN2. And St. Bonaventure's at Cornell in the NBC Sports Network. That's also 7 o'clock Eastern. This is the Steve Kallis Show, or at SportsTalkNetwork.com.